We're going to continue on in our teaching series. Had a testimony last week, teaching this week, and if you're new here, that's just the way we roll. Teaching testimony. Occasionally we throw in an open mic night. In fact, I'm thinking about this. The lesson tonight is the amends lesson, and I'm thinking about maybe doing an open mic night in the near future for those that want to share that have actually put this process into place in their life, into action, and made amends, and just to share what that was like, what that did for you, and were there any positives other than what it did to your heart as a result of that. But anyway, most of the time we're just doing teaching testimony. And so, as I mentioned tonight, we're going to take a look at the amends lesson. Each of the lessons in the Celebrate Recovery curriculum is grounded in one of the 8 recovery principles. We did not take a look at those tonight. We took a look at the 12 steps, but that's something we take a look at almost every other week, is the principles. And so let me just start with the principle and the step that are kind of our guiding focus tonight for this lesson. So principle 6 is the principle that we're in, and it says to evaluate all of my relationships, offer forgiveness to those who have hurt me, and make amends for harm I've done to others, except when to do so would harm them or others. And the Beatitudes that undergird that are happy are the merciful and happy are the peacemakers. And then the step that corresponds with this lesson is step 8. It says we made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. And Luke 6:31 kind of embodies this concept in Scripture: do to others as you would have them do to you. And so some of the key words, obviously besides amends in the principle and the step there, would be willing to make amends, forgiveness, and for folks that have hurt or for harm that has been done to me. So we're going to kind of camp out in those areas tonight. So you should have available to you the handout, which has our acrostic, the word amends, tonight, if you want to follow along with me as I go through each of the letters and kind of flesh those out with what that looks like. And you've got an area on the back for some notes as well, if you want. And then I think it also has our focus question. So this is what you can kind of throw out there in small group tonight. The focus question will be, how can you begin to live the promises of recovery? And we'll talk about that towards the end of the teaching tonight. What promise of recovery have come true in your life? Or what promises of recovery have come true in your life? And that may be none for you right now. Depending on how new you are in this process, you might not have seen any of the promises delivered. And that's another reason to keep coming back. Because I know when I was here my first week, my first month, there were no promises delivered to me. All right, I was still reeling from walking through those doors, my life in shambles. And so we've got people here all across the spectrum tonight. And that's another thing. This lesson falls kind of in the middle of our teaching series, where we start with denial and we go all the way through to the 7 reasons we get stuck, and we stop at places like forgiveness and gratitude and relapse and all those other places. So I always try when I'm teaching to make sure that we can speak to those that are multiple years of recovery in their history, and those that may be, you know, brand new here tonight. So please don't get overwhelmed if some of this that we talk about tonight seems like it's impossible. That's okay. A lot of things that God asks us to do, if we're really paying attention to them, seem impossible. And I heard somebody, it was a pastor delivering a message a few weeks ago, because I always grew up with that phrase in my household: you can do anything you put your mind to. You can do anything you want to. You can be anybody you want to be. And I understand where that comes from. That's a good place. That's inspirational. And yet there's a degree of not true with that. In other words, I am not going to play in the National Football League and live for more than, you know, 2 seconds or one play. Okay, I don't care how much I put my mind to it, it's not going to happen. Okay, and so there's a little bit of a, you know, well, not really, but he rephrased that and say, but we can do anything that God wants us to do, and that is true. Okay? And so just kind of thinking about that concept. So amends is where we're going tonight. And so I came across, I always like to kind of look at definitions of words. And I was looking at the word amends, and one of the more, and actually I used this phrase, I used the word in a community group with a few months ago, and people didn't really know what the word meant. And it was interesting as I was looking at kind of a history of how the word has been used throughout time, and we're kind of in a century-long low period right now. It's kind of waxed and waned over time, but it's a word that we don't run into a lot outside of, let's say, a lot of times recovery groups. We use it quite a bit in my household because of recovery, making an amends, and sometimes we almost interchange it with apology. So what is the difference between amends and apology? And this is what I came up with, or not what I, what is what I found. So think of amends as actions taken that demonstrate your new way of life and recovery. Okay, so amends are actions taken that demonstrate your new life in recovery, whereas an apology is basically words. Okay, not there's anything wrong with an apology, but just to draw that distinction that an amends has more to it than just I'm going to apologize. Okay, and hopefully you'll see that as we go through the teaching tonight. And the other thing that I came across in looking at what John Baker had written when he put together the CR materials, and it's a concept, somehow I missed this because I've taught this lesson before, but it really struck me. And he writes that making amends is not about your past. And I think so many times we get locked into that because as we are going to make amends to somebody or make amends for something, typically it is something that happened in the past. And so we're kind of going back in time. Many times if you've gone through the inventory process in recovery where you've documented on paper or on a computer, all of the junk in your life, most of that's in the past. Some of it might be recent past, but it's in the past. And so that's when we think about going to make amends, it's about fixing or something or repairing the past. And he says, no, it's not about the past. It's not about your past so much as it is about your future. And that's another difference, I think. Making amends, as I say, is a healthy byproduct of a healthy recovery walk. And if you become comfortable at making amends, and you make amends regularly, or as regularly as you need to, eventually your behavior changes enough that amends are come farther and farther, or needed farther and farther apart, because you're living better, you're acting better, you're speaking better, you're thinking better. But when you do, it's affecting how you're going to live more healthily. Not going back and trying to say, well, now I'm going to live in the past better, because you can't do that. And so I just found that concept enlightening. So as we go through that, kind of keep that in the back of your head that this is for the future. All right, so let's get into our acrostic tonight. So the A in amends stands for admit the hurt and harm. Admit the hurt and harm, and the harm. Got too many things here. And I think the A could also be accept. Accept the hurt and the harm. Because I always look at that word accept as taking it into our heart, okay? Grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, we say every week when we pray the serenity prayer. And so admitting the hurt and the harm. So here we are in amends, and a lot of folks are thinking, "Well, I thought we kind of did that as we got out of denial, as we worked on our inventories. What's the deal with that?" Remember, amends is the process where we're going to start taking some action with all this stuff, all this work that we've done up to this point. And the first step is becoming willing to make amends. So getting our minds and our hearts around that concept of being willing to do this. Admitting, accepting moves us out of the darkness of denial and into the light with Christ. And so when we talk about grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can. Scripture we have for the first letter says, do not judge others and God will not judge you. Do not condemn others and God will not condemn you. Forgive others and God will forgive you. That's from Luke. And so this idea of making sure that we are owning the things that we have done to others, and owning the fact that perhaps we have been hurt, and we're not going to pretend anymore. We're not going to put up the false, show that everything's fine. Okay, so it goes both ways, and accepting that, bringing that into our heart. One of the hardest things for folks that struggle with alcohol like myself is getting us to that point where we actually accept it. I mean, I spent most of my life as an addict fooling myself or not wanting to take it in. I might have a problem with drinking. I might get a little out of control. I just don't have it under control. I need to do this or that. Instead of just accepting the fact that I can't drink. And I was having a conversation about that with myself earlier today. I just can't do that. I can't drink. And even if I just limited myself or put some kind of false control on it and was able to manage that, it would still, in my heart, I'm still an alcoholic because I'm not going to ever drink normally. And I need to be completely comfortable with that. And for so many years, I was not. And as I often say, and I didn't recover. I just kept drinking. So, imagine that. And so admitting and accepting is an important part if we're going to go out and make amends properly. Because remember, amends is not about fixing the past. It's about living a better life going forward. Okay? So the M. And so amends takes courage. Okay? I want to kind of come back to that throughout the acrostic as well, throughout the teaching. So amends takes courage. So the M in amends is make a list. Make a list. Luke 6:31, treat others as you want them to treat you, is the scripture that kind of undergirds that. And so once again, you might be thinking, well, didn't we already do this in our inventory? Yes, you did. And it's time to convert that inventory into an action plan now if you haven't done this. So if you haven't gone through the inventory, you may not be aware of what we're talking about. What we do is we take some time to go through our lives and kind of document all those people that we hurt. Document all those folks that hurt us, because they're going to be in the forgiveness category. We're going to be in the amends category for the folks that we have hurt. And then we take that list and we kind of start looking at making an action plan of when we would offer an amends. So it's time to do something about that inventory, in other words. In one of my teaching, I use the kind of the analogy of if you've ever built a house or had somebody come in and do some remodeling, well, it's very common before you sign off on the job to go through and examine the work that's been done. I remember when we built our house years ago, we went through with blue painter's tape, and we just, anything that needed fixing, a cabinet that was straight, put a piece of tape on there. If the blemish in the wall, put a piece of tape in there. Light, switch plate that's crooked, put a piece of little blue painter's tape there. So we had all this blue tape. That's like the inventory. And if we just moved into the house and just left all the blue tape on things, nothing got fixed. Nothing would have happened. We would have still had the crooked switch plates, the blemishes in the wall, all that type of stuff. And so now as we go into making amends, it's now time to start removing the tape and addressing the issue. Okay? You're going to want to, when you make your list, this is one of the reasons we have accountability partners and why we have a sponsor. Because we want to run that list, because you've already probably shared your inventory with that person or persons if you've shared that with multiple folks. And so just having them take a look at your amends list and kind of talking through that process with them to get some feedback from them. And then just once again, being willing to make amends. Don't worry about the logistics. Well, they live across the country. Well, I don't want to do it over text. I don't think I'll see them. Or I don't even remember his or her name. That type. Put them on the list. Okay, first. You can then kind of go through and kind of look at logistical things later. So the willingness is getting them on your list first. Once again, mentally getting them out of our head and onto the paper so that we're saying, I want to deal with this, Lord. Help me find the time, the place, the means, whatever, all that type of stuff. But getting them on that list. The E in amends stands for encourage one another. And that's one of the reasons, once again, you go to your accountability partners or group, you go to your sponsor. As those of you that play that role in this room, those of you that are sponsors, those of you that are accountability partners, you know, it's our job to be encouraging to folks. It's our job to be that gentle, to be encouraging one another. You know, have you, you know, I know you made your list. I know you did your inventory 6 months ago. Have you made your amends list? You know, here's mine. Or, you know, did you have trouble this, that, or the other thing? Okay. And that's, you're going to find shared struggles and shared frustrations and maybe shared opportunities as well. So encourage one another. Hebrews 10:24 says, and let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Let me share a little bit, a couple more scriptures on encouragement. Encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are already doing. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And so what we're talking about is biblical encouragement, not just, go make amends or good job or whatever, but biblical encouragement. And the Greek word for encouragement is used, I think it's like 105 or something times in the New Testament. And so we see the action of encouragement happening quite a bit through the New Testament. Biblical encouragement, what do I mean by that? I came across the definition, and I forgot to write who I got this from, because I did steal it. I just can't remember who I stole it from. It says, people who biblically encourage others say with love what a person needs to hear when they need to hear it, even if it isn't what the person wants to hear. Let me go through that again. Biblical encouragement is this. So it's not just saying, hey, good job. Biblical encouragement encourages others to say with love what a person needs to hear when they need to hear it, even if it is not what the person wants to hear. So there's a lot in that. It's got to have love. There's got to be timing. You've got to be connected with the person to know what's going on. You've got to know that this person likely may not want to hear that, but they need to hear it, you know. So that, and because that's that truth love that's throughout and what Jesus was a master at. And so we are here to biblically encourage one another. And that's why I read a couple extra scriptures, in just because get into, you know, look for encouragement from scripture. Look at how, find out, model how Jesus encouraged others biblically. And once again, it's not beating somebody up with scripture. It's not making scripture fit your particular scenario. It's just being there in a true encouraging factor. It's really easy to encourage someone who just passed the finish line in first place and good job, you know. We're after a little more of a difficult type of encouragement with that here. Okay? So truth, love, and wisdom are contained in biblical encouragement. If you don't have one of those three, it can go awry. And so and believe me, I've gone awry a lot with this, because I tend to favor truth first. I'll go for wisdom second, and then love is completely lost out there. And so that's why I make the girls that live in my house cry all the time, it seems like, because I'm not getting the love piece down. So it just takes some practice, and that's why you have accountability partners and other folks that have kind of walked through this. So I have to go to some of the dads that I know that have older daughters and have walked this walk ahead of me and have made the mistakes, and it can give me some tips, you know, on how to maybe incorporate the love more. The N in amends stands for not for them. And this is a key component to amends. Luke 6:35, love your enemies and do good to them. Lend and expect nothing back. And it's the back part of that scripture that I think is really why John Baker chose it. Lend and expect nothing back, because you need to get very familiar with the concept, if you're going to deliver amends, that it's not about them. It's about you and your heart and the condition of your heart, okay? It's not about fixing a situation that happened in the past. It is not about rationalizing why it happened. I had an easy one. I was drunk. I just drank, so it's not my fault, right? I couldn't possibly have hurt you with those words I said while I was drunk, because I was drunk. No, it just doesn't fly. So it's not about rationalizing. It's not about assigning blame. It's not about getting even. It's not about, if I say this, then I'm expecting you to give me an amends, and then it doesn't happen, and you're mad, and it starts all over. No, it's not about that. It's not about making everything all right. It is about restoring our hearts and our souls back to the way they were created to be. Okay, so it's all about us, okay, not for them. And this is one of those things that can really get us. And so just be expecting that there's nothing positive. Don't be expecting that you make the amends and they go, oh, it's great, we're friends again, everything's fine, I forgot it even happened. Don't be expecting, that might happen, that's great. But don't go into it with that, and certainly don't go in that as that's your motivation, that's what you're trying to have happen. We're missing the point if we do that, okay? And so that's, I think, one of the key components. And I think another area where amends goes deeper than, let's say, an apology. Because I think sometimes apologies, we're just trying to get us back on track or get us back to zero or get us, you know, kind of reset. And amends is going much deeper. It's a restoration tool. And so it's not about the other person. It's about you doing it for you, okay? And if you do it enough, you will begin, as I mentioned, it begins to change who you are. It begins to change how you interact with folks. I had an interaction with a brother here last week where I was frustrated, I was flustered, I was stressed, and he happened to approach me and give me some news I didn't want to hear. And so I made kind of a snippy comment. And almost immediately as he was walking away, I felt wrong. That's unusual for old Jack. Frankly, I don't like that feeling. I like when I could just insult you and not care. But that doesn't happen. That's not that. It's because God has changed me, still changing me. And so I had to send him a text as soon as I could find time later that evening that I owed him an amends. And I apologized as well, but also just used that terminology because I needed to address that right away. So that's how God has changed me, because then I have where I would have never had that feeling before. I'm still working on that in other areas of my life. I still am far too flippant and far too hurtful. Thank you. But slowly but surely, you know, God is having that impact. All right, the D. I think we're at D. Do it at the right time. Do it at the right time. Philippians 2:4, each of you should look not only to your own interest, but also to the interests of others. And we talk about that in the principle, where we talk about making an amends unless doing so would harm them or others. And so sometimes it's not appropriate to actually make the amends. Now, you can still write that person on your list. You can make an indirect amends. You can sit down with your sponsor and talk through and get their feedback and on that. But so you're doing the heart work. It just may not be what you can do. But for most of the amends that we run into in our life, we can make those in person, and we should. But we need to be careful about the timing of that. So obviously, you know, picking an appropriate time versus not an appropriate time, whatever that is. So don't try to make your amends in the middle of, you know, a New Year's Eve party or whatever. Don't try to make the amends when the kids are screaming and you're trying to get dinner on the table or whatever it is like that. Have those appropriate moments. But just even beyond that, how do you know when it's the right time? And I would encourage you to take that to God. And continue to take that to him in looking for, is this the opportunity? And he will make it apparent to you. At least he's done that in my life. And many times I will ignore him because he keeps teeing it up. I'll find that he does that with me. He'll just keep pushing and say, "You'll give me this opportunity," and I'll figure out some kind of jack rationalization to get out of it. And then he'll give me another one and another one. And finally, I'd say, okay, well, I got it. Here's the time, and make the amends. And then the correct time, meaning also, the sooner you can make the amends after the infraction, the better. Many times when we first do our amends and become willing to make them, we may be taking a look at our inventory of things that happened years ago, and we're making amends for these things. And also, you know, going back to the not for them, don't be surprised if you get a response of like, "Oh, I don't even remember that, but, you know, thanks anyway." That's okay. Once again, it's about you. It's not about them going, "Oh, yeah, it's been bugging me, and now you ruined my life, and now it's everything." You may get somebody who just goes, "I don't even remember that." Okay, that's okay. It's all about you. So correct time, but the sooner you can make the amends after the infraction, as I say, the better. Okay. Also, picking the appropriate time, you may need to set aside a time. And as you do this more and more, you will. The whole idea is to have as little time between infraction and amends as possible. And so I knew it wasn't the right time for me to pull him aside because we were running off to small group, you know, last week. But as soon as I was able to get home, sit down on the patio and relax, I wanted to then shoot him a text that I had put some thought into, because I didn't want to wait till I saw him this week or, you know, something like that. So that's what we mean also by the correct time, as soon as possible. All right. Finally, we have the S. The S stands for start living the promises of recovery. I talked about that when we looked at our focus question for tonight. So what are the promises of recovery? Well, there's a lot of them. There are things like freedom from shame. If you came in as a victim of shame, there might be healthy boundaries that you have now in your life. It might be a new sense of gratitude and or forgiveness. You might actually get at your heart level the word serenity, and you might have a more serene life. So there's any number of promises of recovery. I think the biggest one, though, is that restoration of our minds and our bodies. And for those of you who have continued to come back and continued to work this program and submit to this, you have likely lived that restoration, both in mind and body and spirit and heart. And it's kind of hard to put words on sometimes, but you'll know what I'm talking about. And that's why if you are new here and you talk to somebody that's been here for a while, and if you ever get the impression of there's just something that they have, or just the way they talk, or the way they seem to let things roll off them, what is that? I want that. Well, that's that restoration that they've experienced in walking closer to Christ and walking in this program. So as I said, making amends takes courage. It takes courage to walk in the light of truth with Jesus by your side. It takes courage to submit to the amends process in general. And so I challenge you, if you haven't move to the first stage of it, being willing, and really get your mind around that, being willing, and just even, and sometimes we think if I'm willing to, and God will do this, that all of a sudden I'll have to do something. No, you don't have to do anything. Just get yourself willing to do it, and all of a sudden that many times takes a lot of the pressure off. But become willing to do it, and then start making that list if you haven't. Start talking about this with your accountability partners and your sponsors if you haven't. And then start in some small way. And that can be, maybe you start with some indirect amends, okay, where you make up for some things that you've done in the past. Before I close, I'll just share, I think I've shared this story with you before, how I used to steal from the food bank by, you know, raising money for them, but then not giving them all the money. And I made an indirect amends to them a number of years ago by just walking in and handing them a check for what I figured was the equivalent of the money that I kept that should have gone to the food bank. They had no idea why I was doing it. I didn't have to make a big deal about it or anything. It was just getting right in my heart because it was nagging on me every time I drove past the food bank on the way out to the prison to do a step study. And that's the way God will do that to me. So maybe you start with some indirect amends. Living your life better, working this program, working, living the 8 principles and the 12 steps, you will be a different person. You will start making amends to folks without even knowing it. My relationship with my wife is an example of that. I've made very few direct amends, but the living amends, the guy that she is married to now is the guy that she married way back when, and then I went dormant and went, you know, out and lied and all that type of stuff for a number of years. Now she has that person back. And so every day that I'm sober, every day that I'm actively working a recovery program, I'm making an amends to her that way. Now, we sat down and had some conversation and a direct amends. But so that's one of the, but I just encourage you to have that courage to start this process.